Welcome in. It's the Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the next 2 hours. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus. Good day to kind of calm down, dissect.
Mm-hmm.
So we get ready for game two tomorrow night. Got in here about, a little after two. Saw my boy Sammy deep in thought. You know, JB, like, you know those thought bubbles you see in the comics?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when Jughead's ready to decide on whether to ask Betty or Veronica to the prom.
Okay.
I saw those all afternoon over Sammy's head.
He's been thinking thoughts.
Very, very deep thoughts to the point where he shushed me.
He did?
Yeah, upstairs.
What? Oh.
Save it for the show.
Save it
for the show. That's what he said.
Today.
He's loaded.
Today is the ultimate. Like, listen, we have a lot of days where we don't say much, but today is the ultimate save it day.
I think.
You know, after what happened last night, you didn't want to have any of the takes or any of the thoughts come out. But we had to wade through all the free candy we had first. So we had lots of time before our show to do something else instead of talk about the Leafs.
Yeah. What was this? Stork? Stork Canada sent us a huge box of chocolates.
Toffifee!
Which is your...
I'm powered by Toffifee today.
I'm not sure I've ever seen someone's eyes light up. Like, this is good quality stuff. Oh, my God. Oh.
It is really good. Really good stuff.
It's none of that waxy stuff.
I think we're good for the rest of the series.
Should get us through.
We'll see.
Okay, so Leafs win an all-important home game to start this series off, and you'd think we would have started today off with, you know, the chances of going up 2-0 back to Florida and what that would mean. But something tells me we're going to take this thing right to a different direction.
Can we start with that? That they did win?
Yeah, sure. No, 100%.
All right.
100%. You know,
I'm not sure where it is in the pecking order when it comes to Leaf fans right now.
Well,
the win
matters.
I think that we should push it to the forefront because that's a great hockey game. And that, you know, I'm not going to say it's a roadmap for them, but it's, you can see a world where they can have success here.
They not only played with them in the first 40 minutes, they exceeded the game that Florida we felt like was going to play. I thought from a forecheck to a physical presence, night and day from whatever we saw 2 years ago.
You know, I could have seen a world where they went through this whole series without having 20, 30 minutes that looked as positive as the start of that game. I thought, given the stakes and the context and the opponent, that's as good as I've seen them play. A lot of it was how many guys did, well, I'll say Max Pacioretty, but how many guys did the Leafs put on the ice at the start of a series, you know, where usually Florida goes out there and mows down a bunch of guys. You saw Seth Jones hit the deck and Tkachuk and Barkov and Kulikov off the
hit by McCabe, reverse hit.
Yeah, like a bunch of Panther jerseys ended up on the ice. That was nice to see.
No overview from Craig Berube today?
I will say that Craig Berube was pretty short last night. And there's probably a reason for that, and we'll get into the reason about that. But he did talk today. He was a little bit, I would say he was cooler head today. And we could go down to clip number 9 to talk about the start and what they look like at the start of the game last night.
Well, it was a good period. I thought we were very aggressive on our toes. You know, if you look at the gaps and the reloads by our guys, that's crucial. And just getting pucks to the net, you know, and attacking. So, like I said, you know, I kind of backed off a little bit too much later on. But the start of the game in the first period was very good.
The visual of Max Pacioretty crashing Barkov down, to me, Max Domi knocking Matthew Tkachuk down and then going down on a 2-on-1, forcing Bobrovsky to make a great save. Those are images that should excite Leaf fans.
Yeah. You know, those are the guys that we thought could matter, might matter, and Domi lived up to it. He had a great game. And Pacioretty just, you know, Sammy, the one thing we did joke about before the game, the only person who didn't enjoy watching Pacioretty last game was Nick Robertson. Because, you know, not many guys in the league can look as big and strong as Pacioretty did there. And also make plays and hang on to pucks. He had two assists and four hits. He was all over it, man.
I think we laid it out yesterday during the first hour that one of the big fears for me, at least, was the Leafs looking intimidated by the Panthers and looking a little bit scared and getting hit and going away.
Yeah.
And all three of us can sit here and say that was absolutely not the case in game one. Mm-hmm. This is a long series. The more it happens, more stuff that goes on, they could go away as it goes on. But game one test in terms of physicality, the Leafs pass with flying colors.
Even the first ridiculous penalty.
Oh, my God.
I liked what was happening there because Marchand was, you know, for the first time in the game, kind of giving guys a couple. And I liked that Domi was there in his face. Like, we're not doing that. Even though Domi did nothing. And they called a cross-checking penalty in what is the worst call I've seen this hockey season.
Ridiculous.
Maybe the worst call in the history of the league.
It just didn't happen. It didn't happen. And if it happened, it was the other guy.
In a Stanley Cup playoffs.
Game one of a playoff series.
It's where you'll ever find a cross check.
Marchand is like starting to stir it up a little bit.
Yeah.
He gives a little something here, a little something there. And he says, hey, that's enough. Grabs his stick.
Oh, my God.
Domi didn't even have two hands on his stick to cross check.
He grabbed Marchand's stick.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Now, do you want to do a Paul Maurice overview?
Yeah. Let's do Paul Maurice's overview.
Clip one,
Paul Maurice.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to expect that you can look either way again. You're hopeful that you don't look the way you did at the start, but the other team's protecting the lead at that point, so they're not going to look like that either. It was the perfect storm of, that's not the way you want to start when you're, everybody's got lots of energy and jump, but there's some tension to it always at the start, so when you're behind one, and that was our first period, you know, we didn't look like ourselves, and then righted it in the second, and after that, had a pretty good push in the third.
Okay, that's enough for, 7 minutes in?
Oh, okay.
Get to the elephant in the room here, for goodness sakes.
Okay.
Sammy. From one Sammy to another Sammy. Sam Bennett.
Okay.
No one's putting on their surprise face on today about the way this guy acts and how he conducts his business this time of year. We talked about this at great lengths yesterday.
Yeah.
Why should anybody be surprised?
No one is surprised. Sportsnet's Chris Black has quite the thread together of the Bennett hits. I don't know if you went through them at all, but over the past few years, you know, the amount of like sneaky punches and hits and the whoopsie daisy moments, this guy obviously does not get the benefit of the doubt. We knew this coming into the series.
He does.
No, he does get the benefit.
He does from the league.
Yes.
Nobody but the league gives him the benefit of the doubt. Zero people.
But that's all that matters, right? It's all that matters.
If the players know he's full of whatever,
but it doesn't make a difference. Only the Leafs or the league can make a difference on this guy. But I tip my hat to him, man, because he is sneaky good. He may be one of the best I've ever seen in the game since I've first watched it.
Best
at concealing, at hiding your
but he doesn't hide it, Kipper.
Well,
no, he does hide it.
He didn't get in trouble, Sammy.
He does hide it, Sammy. He does. He conceals it.
Yeah, okay? But
you cannot detect it.
Everyone knows,
but he gets away with it.
He gets away with it.
Why?
Because he hides it better than anyone else. That's why.
Did he hide?
Yeah, he hit it. He hit it, Sam.
You can make the case on that play. I looked at that play, and I was like, I don't know. If it's not him, no one suspends
him. Where he's great at is that he can make it look like anyone else's play. That little bump, anyone else makes it, and we're not having any type of conversation about it.
Yeah, but it wasn't anyone else.
No, and that's why
I know
we're having this conversation at all. Because otherwise, it'd be like, of course you're not suspending for that. But it is Bennett.
And this is where
you probably should.
The league wants to stay consistent is that no one's history comes into play
until
unless we deem it a suspendable act as is.
Yeah, Kip, you're 100% right on that point, which
the issue. This is why he's so damn good at hiding and concealing.
Yeah. God, I hate the word good. Effective. It's just, it's not, he's not good at it. He's not the best at it.
Has he been suspended before in the past?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then he does have a rap sheet.
But the point is, it doesn't matter until
prior history doesn't matter?
No. Only once the incident is ruled worthy, suspension
is worthy. And then his history comes into play.
Okay.
Then you start tacking on more games. But this guy is like three seasons in a row. You go back to 2 years ago with Matthew Nyes.
Yeah.
And last year.
And he also cross-checked Bunting in the head that same game.
Game. Yeah. And then last year, game three, teammate now, Brad Marchand. Right?
Knocked him out, yeah.
Knocked him out for two games.
So let's continue to let him play unhinged. It's good for the league.
Is that
what they want?
It's great for Florida Panthers.
Yeah, and that's in turn great for the league because it's their favorite team. They don't get suspended unless it's a blatant elbow to the mouth of Brandon Hagel. You can make the argument that it's not suspendable or whatever, but it's a clear blindside elbow to the head of an unsuspecting player.
It's not clear, Sam. It's not clear.
But how is it not clear, Kipper?
I know. It's because that this time of year, the mandate from all teams is to crash a goalie or take his eyes away or make it difficult for him. This is what happens this time of year. And that incident looked pretty much common with what you generally see, and that's the concealing part.
Do we think that the initial shot from Reinhart had an influence on the
Sam
result?
Sam
Reinhart hit him with a shot, 80-mile-per-hour wrister in the mask, influences the concussion
in the first period.
Yeah, he plays long after that, obviously.
I can't answer that.
No.
I can't. I know from my history and ultimately kind of shutting it down because of my last head injury that everyone can be affected differently. There's different symptoms and different effects. This guy, I think Elliot Friedman had him at 10 minutes last night on the show between Sam Bennett hitting him.
Real time?
In real time, 10 minutes. Came back to the bench, went back, and then 10 minutes later, he's thrown up in his mask, and then he threw up in the bench.
Is that shaky does of the head after? I saw a concussion guy saying that that's usually, can be a sign of some sort of damage. But I will say, so Sam, I am making these points about Stolarz and how he disguises it, the contact's not that obvious, that it's like for sure a suspension. I think because of who it is and because there's no shouldn't be benefit of the doubt, I do think he should have got a game. I do think that was enough for me. You know, we want to protect these goaltenders.
No, I mean, but the thing is, this is the second straight series where the Florida Panthers have looked for a star and done something greasy to knock a star out of a series. Did it with Hagel, just did it with Stolarz, and guess who gets to play next game to probably do it to somebody else? Because if you continue to get away with this stuff, why the hell wouldn't he go out there and run around and try to hurt people?
I am curious to see if he's either emboldened or if he feels like he's playing on his final foul in the NBA.
I mean, he didn't get fined, Borny.
He's more careful.
He didn't get a fine. It was like, it's not even a thing. It's like it never even happened.
Yeah.
They close their eyes and pretend it's not Sam Bennett, and it's fine. He can just continue to go unchecked.
Let's go to Craig Berube, clip one on the shot to Stolarz, and we'll pick it up after that.
Craig, what was your view on the Sam Bennett hit on Stolarz? And
elbow to the head. Yeah, clearly. Yeah, clear as day.
Were you satisfied with your players' response to that? Like, did they handle it the way you would like? Or
yeah, I mean, I don't know what you. I mean, I think at the time, I think, you know, we handled it the way we should handle it. I'm not sure why there's not a call on it, but. You know, I get it. They miss calls, but it's clearly a penalty.
Yeah,
it is a penalty. You make contact with a goalie at that spot. It's at best or worst, whatever, however side you pick, it's a penalty.
10 out of 10 times, that's a penalty. Yeah.
But they got, you know, every touch of the stick on somebody's hands, they put the hand up. But like,
a lot of calls.
The goalie, the guy goes flying elbow into the goalie's head, and they're like, yeah, let's play on here. The dirtiest guy in the league does it, no problem.
We talked about the way this series would be officiated, and it really did play into the Leafs' hand, although the power play didn't come through on five attempts. But taking those penalties for Florida kind of derailed them.
Yeah. Well, in the third period, too, as the game got close, they took two penalties that the Leafs... By the way, they took two penalties. They weren't called for two infractions that weren't there. Those were penalties. So, yeah, they want to play that way. I think the officials called penalties where they saw them at the end, but some of that stuff was missed earlier in the game, not overly well officiated. So I think we all know where we stand on Bennett now.
So can I just ask you guys, like, what quantifies, like, what is it that, like, allows a conversation about a suspension to be had?
Well, I mean, they had one about it, 100%. No, but like, the league would have talked about it.
I mean, what fits the criteria?
More violence. How's that? More violent, more impactful.
Do they like blindside hits?
No, I know.
Do they like elbows to the head? Do they like guys knocked out of series? Do they like guys with prior history?
Yeah, I know.
Like, check here, boys. It's the same thing.
It's not. Listen.
What am I, like?
There's a level of force that matters.
I would love to tell you that is a suspendable act. But I can't if it was anyone else but Sam Bennett. It's not, Sam. It's not enough to get a guy suspended. It is when you factor in Sam's history.
Correct.
And motive.
Motive?
All of it.
Is intent matter or no?
It's not a suspendable act.
And that's the problem. The initial point Kip made is that if that is Mitch Marner that does it to someone else, everyone goes, well, that's not a suspension. He massaged him. You know, he fell kind of into him softly. You know, and we go, it's not a suspension. If Marner got suspended for that play, we'd be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But it is Bennett.
It's true.
It is Bennett. So we all know it's on purpose. And we know it's malicious.
Right?
So you have to look at it like it's not Bennett.
Him. Yeah.
Which is absurd.
Totally.
Is one of the more absurd things. It's like, oh, yep, that's just player B that just never does anything. Like, it's the most absurd thing ever.
I think we've reached the, yes, that's exactly where, if it's Nick Cousins or it's Willie Nylander doing it, it's no name bar on the incident.
Also add to the fact that news broke fairly quickly that either he was, I don't know if he was taking out on a stretcher or not, but
ambulance,
hospital. Now this story grows legs, and, you know, I don't know. Like, of course, if you're the Leafs, you want to take all the precautionary measures that you can. But, I mean, that certainly grew legs on the whole thing. And, of course, Florida Panthers today, behind the scenes, are accusing of the ambulance and the hospital to be, you know, a ploy to get him suspended.
Yeah, they should know better. They should know he's not going to get suspended. Why would they worry?
It is this great drama. Right? Florida's mad about that. That's
no, it's not that they're mad at that. It's just we know they're sitting there going, come on, a little nudge to the head. The guy goes to the hospital.
Like I said,
I guess they went to the Jim Montgomery School of Doctors.
Doctor.
What's the hospital? Unless you're going to the hospital to get an MRI or a
CAT
scan.
Maybe vertebrae, like the way his head twisted or then something, maybe some neck thing.
It might be a whiplash.
Yeah.
It could be a whiplash. And I don't doubt for one second. I mean, he's either dizzy. Clearly, there's nausea involved. He threw up.
Yeah.
It could have easily had come from the whiplash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. All right, we got a number of clips on this.
So I think the one there's two Maurice ones.
Okay.
So these are hard for me to
play. We have Berube too on it.
Let's start with Paul Maurice 2 from last night on the Bennett hit. This is after the game from last night, number 2.
Just the Sam Bennett elbow on Anthony Stoller. As I
what's going to happen? You're going to light your hair on fire, and I'm going to let you. The referee is standing right there when it happened, and then you will do your thing, and the league will do its thing, and I'll coach the next game, hopefully.
Okay. Now,
pretty simple.
This is from today. And this is the whole press conference from this morning with Paul Maurice was Sam Bennett related.
All right.
And this was towards the end of the press conference when he was getting particularly perturbed about the topic.
Line of questioning.
And this is a longer one with a couple questions mixed in. So let's play number four. Paul Maurice 4, please, today in Toronto.
He plays hard. Like, there was a hit 2.5 years ago that you guys have shown 4,000 times. There was a parking ticket 7 years ago that I think actually made the video. Like, he's got the puck, he's on a power play, goes to the net. But not through the beat. He's got the puck, he's going to the net. I understand, like, call the fire department, put your hair out, let's move on, please. Like, the edge. He plays hard, he has the puck a lot. If he doesn't have the puck, we've got a system that says you got to hit the guy with the puck. There's your line. No, I knew you weren't letting this go. Right.
There's been, as long as you've been around and I've been around, the players on teams that you love them when they're yours and you hate them when they're not, be it Dale Hunter or whoever it was over the years. Where does Sam fit in that group of
guys? I don't think even close. Like, we're 6 games into the playoffs and he took a puck outside the crease and now he's a villain. But I expected that when I got up this morning. It just still surprises me, fellas. Like, I mean, there were far more egregious collisions in that game last night, but we won't be talking about those, I would imagine, today.
You coached 2 years here, it
surprises? No, it doesn't. I'm not upset about it. I'm really not. I know, you know what you're getting this morning. I know where this is going. Honest to God, I mean, I've seen every hit that Sam Bennett's thrown since he was 12 years old on TV this morning. I get it. Go ahead.
He's the puppet master's at work.
That's pretty good, though.
The puppet master's at work.
It's pretty good.
Sure.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, I give him credit for hanging in there and defending his guy. You know, as much as nothing there. Nothing there.
Oh, it's a lot easier once you know the league's on your side.
Yeah.
Now you can really go to town with, it's you guys.
Yeah.
Not us, it's you guys.
Right. But I like that Maurice is agitated early. Because that's agitated Maurice.
The problem is, JB, that this is right into their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Right. You're playing into something that they've already proven they can be very successful.
No. They're the best at it. And like I'll allow you the word
guys,
best there.
Taking guys out.
No,
yeah, they are
dragging
the best at
the game into the muck and not making it a hockey
they
game.
They love being agitated. They love, like,
they want this.
Critically injuring opponents.
Okay,
really
we get your point, man.
Really
I got it.
They're really good at that.
Tampa Bay, that series.
No one is focusing on the Leafs being up 1-0 right now.
Right.
We started with it. We led with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we chose to.
But that's they brought the Tampa series down to that level, and that's what they want to do. And this is their sweet spot, and they want to play the game on their terms. So this is a big challenge for me for the Leafs, is you can't make the guy who had 51 points this year the focal point of the series. You can't chase Sam Bennett around.
They did last night.
Who did?
Post. Okay. Everything's now now today on an off season, and clearly by the sound bites, it was all about Sam Bennett today.
Right. But the team can't.
That's what you're going to see now. Does it get dragged into game two, or does it get left behind?
Also, doesn't help that who would Sam Bennett not beat the tar out of on the Leafs? You know, like, this is a pretty sturdy boy.
Well, that's that's. A conversation.
Do you guys want to play Berube? Let's do Berube on Stolarz, his little update on Stolarz. Let's play clip 5.
He's doing well. Yeah, he's here. He's doing good. So,
Will he be available tomorrow night?
We'll see. Don't know that yet.
Concussion?
Don't know that either.
Did you go to hospital?
Well.
To get evaluated.
Yeah. How long was he in hospital for?
I don't know. I'll call the doctor today and ask him. I don't know. He's just like, I don't know.
What was the question?
How long was he in the hospital for?
I moved on from it. Yeah.
A few hours.
Talk about it. It's over.
So he was released last night.
So yeah. The end of that clip is he's like, what do you want? And he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
Move yeah, on. Nor should he. Yeah. Nor should he. It's not his business. He's not that guy. You're asking the wrong coach. We've seen it all season long. This guy is not a kiss and tell guy.
Let's just stick with the theme. Finish this off. We got Berube on retribution.
Yes.
Let's have him follow up clip 7 from Berube.
You moved on from it, but retribution is part of this sport. It can be. What do you talk to your players about this, or?
Well, I talk to my players about focusing on the game, and playing the game hard, and playing it the right way. Like I said, there's an opportunity to take the body on somebody. I don't care who it is. You go through them, but you know. You can't just, you know, you're going to go out and you know, think you're going to get back at Bennett and you end up in the penalty box. And we don't need that. But it's the focus is we got to focus on the game, okay, and playing the game the way we need to play it. And that's got to be the focus.
Why is there a Maurice clip on this clip sheet using the Stolarz injury as motivation?
Some guy asked him about that. We don't have to play it. But just put it in there. In case we needed it, but I couldn't love that answer more.
It's the right answer, isn't it?
It is, but there should be somebody on the Leaf roster that needs to find a way to answer back without derailing what Berube's talking about.
Fight?
Maybe.
Who
I don't know.
Could that even be McCabe?
Nice. Nice can go Bennett.
I'm
telling you, Nice can go Bennett.
Listen, buddy, Nice is their biggest, strongest guy, but I don't think I want to roll
that
dice.
I'm not sure
either.
I do either.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, he could.
Yeah.
McCabe could too, but I'm not sure I want him either.
Benoit is the answer.
But answers can come from McMahon driving hard to the net and losing an edge. Same thing with Holmberg.
Uh-huh.
That's another...
Well, hey,
angle. Now we're opened up to
it's open season.
It's open season.
Well, and you can't say that Florida would be like, get my fainting couch. The series before, there's a clip of Tkachuk saying to the Tampa Bay bench, "I don't want you. I want Kucherov." You know, you got them targeting the other guy's stars too. They're familiar with how that game works.
Now it's a fine line between. A 2-minute, 5-minute charging. That's the nature of the game. Is like you're always on a fine line this time of year.
So
you got to make some hard decisions on when to get a lick in and when to back off. That's the experience part of this time of year. And I don't know what the answer is right or wrong until, at least as a player, when I was in the moment. Mm-hmm. That's when you decide.
So let me ask the question that people who criticize hockey culture would say, how does that help them win the game? And I'm asking that sincerely, not from a sarcastic whatever.
Yeah.
How does that help the Maple Leafs get past the Florida Panthers in round one?
Well, we won't know until we see the outcome. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a rallying point. Maybe it's a power play that ends up, you know, I fell into Grant Fuhr. Mm-hmm. We got a power play off of that. Okay?
Right.
I made the decision that if Chris Pronger is going to cross-check me from behind, I'm going to drag everybody into the fight here.
Mm.
And that's the gamble that I took, that I could have ended up with the penalty. I could have ended up with getting thrown out of the game, intent to injure, or I could end up with a power play of our own.
I agree, it can't be premeditated, right?
JB, there's no answer to it until you're in your moment and you make your hard decision.
You take your shot.
And you take your shot.
Right. Yeah.
And you hope and pray for the outcome that you're in that dressing room and it's like, hey, look how hard he played. Look at what he went out there and he made something happen. He got a reaction. And that's what Florida's been built on through Bennett and Matthew Tkachuk. Is that they go out there and their answer is, I'd rather do this than nothing at all.
Like Chase Mitch running around at the final buzzer?
You know, even in that game, what was the horrid game that the Leafs played in the first round there against Ottawa?
Game five.
It's like, boys, would you rather do something trying than do nothing at all and then watch your whole city go, what the hell was that?
Right.
So
are you okay if that doesn't become available to them in game two? It doesn't show up till game three and a half?
I think there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
And they're up 1-0 and your coach wants you to not worry about things between whistles. But there might be a time and place. It might not be in game two, might not be in game three, but there might be a time when you can get a lick in and you're going, that's the one I'm picking right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know we'll see how this thing plays out, but that's how you go about this time of year.
Max Pacioretty can make himself real valuable.
The team, the fundamental difference between this year's version of the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers is the Leafs have shown to be a much more physical team with the new personnel under Berube. They have been physical, but they're not dirty. Mm-hmm. And they're not a dirty team. And that is the fundamental difference where who on the Leafs is going to go out there and take your dirty shot? Because they're not a bunch of dirtbags.
Yeah, Domi maybe.
Right? And it's like, that's the fundamental difference where you say it's really great that they do all these dirty things and they're just so gritty and dirty, good for them. But I just don't see, like, is it Lawton? Is it Lorenz? Like, is it, these guys just don't have that dirty side of them. And that's unfortunately.
Can they get past without it?
I don't know. But the Panthers get away with it. So do you have to try to get away with it? But then you get dragged into doing stupid stuff?
Not to get ahead of ourselves here, but if the Leafs get past Florida and Washington gets by Carolina, you got Tom Wilson coming up next. You're right back into a guy that will.
Yeah, you got to deal with these people.
You got to deal with these people.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
I don't know, like. I don't think that there's time to turn Nyes into this type of player. I mean, we saw him, his strengths, driving hard to the net. His strengths are his hands, scoring a big goal that they didn't necessarily have 2 years ago. So can they win turning the cheek somewhat?
I think if they're still physical and in your face, that way they can,
yeah.
But you got to keep that element up.
I think that's their best strategy, to be honest with you.
And I don't know. We haven't seen them sustain that level of physicality for five straight games at any point. I don't know how that works.
To be desperate enough for a Nyes or somebody to go out there and try to take something on their own, you almost have to see the series completely turn into Florida's favor, where you're in that position of, if I don't do something, we're just going to quietly fade into the sunset. And to me, they showed enough in game one that they don't have to go for a retribution. They don't have to answer, fight fire with fire here. They just got to keep doing their own thing here to find ways to end up with W's.
So in that moment, after it happens, Carlo's right there. Are like, he gives him a shot, gives him the cross check in the back. Would you have preferred the flippers off jump kind of thing, or like in that tight, was it 3-1 at that point when that happens? Like what would you have wanted?
With Bennett hitting Stolarz?
Yeah.
I don't believe for 1 second Carlo or anyone else could have read it.
I don't think they thought it was that bad.
No one thought it was that bad. And you are now, you got a coach that is instilling discipline and stay within the game plan. It would have been out of character for Carlo or anyone else to jump Bennett at that moment on something that wasn't that prominent of a play.
Do you want to hear any of the Bennett thoughts?
They are triggering, so maybe.
Do we want to go to break first?
Well, no, let's play Bennett clip one, and then you'll see if you want to play Bennett clip two. Bennett clip one.
I mean, I think I can understand why people react that way, because Stoli's injured, and that's of course when you know, your starting goalie gets injured, you know, people are going to be upset. Looking back at the video, I mean, really, the contact that was made was in my opinion, it's really just a bump. There was no forceful action. I'm trying to score. I'm the last thing in my mind is thinking about, elbowing him in the head. And like when it happened, I didn't even realize that that I had made contact. So, there wasn't a ton of force in it.
One of my favorite drops from my good friend JD Bunkus and Ben Ennis, they used to have a thing on their show, a good show. Today on Liars Who Lie.
Yeah. It's the cookie monster going, I wasn't even thinking about the cookies.
The cookies
were the last thing on
cookies.
My mind. Cookies? Who wants them? I was thinking about salad.
Cookies?
All right. Take a break?
Yeah. Sure.
We'll take a break.
Yeah.
We got more hockey to talk about.
Oh, we also have Henrik Lundqvist coming up at 5 o'clock.
We
oh,
do.
Yeah. Yes. You guys are going to look
Henry.
Ugly today.
Yes. It's an ugly day.
Yeah.
Also, Joseph Wall. Kind of been calling on him lately. He ends up going in not the way I would have thought. I want to get your reaction on Joseph Wall coming in relief when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program, Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Going into this series, I did mention that
it's your fault.
Would have liked to have seen a tad of a break for Stolarz if there was a window. I saw another one to get Joseph Wall in game one. It didn't happen. I got to tell you, though, watching the first Seth Jones goal, mm-hmm. did not like it at all on Stolarz's part mm-hmm. again.
Yep.
But certainly made some key saves before being pulled out of the lineup. But how concerned are you now that Joseph Wall in came cold? Didn't look great, guys. Didn't also look great. And where are you now going into game two Wednesday night?
My initial thought was that this was because I didn't think Stolarz's injury was serious at first. And so my initial thought was that this was good. You know, we had talked about Wool getting in there. I like a world where they kind of can, step in for one another, or they go back to playing not so heavy a workload. And Wool has been good historically in the playoffs when they set him in for a couple of games. He's done a great job. So I thought it was a good thing. He didn't play great. I know, I don't mind the third one. That's a tough tip. Hate the Bilinski's one. But the other one I didn't mind either. What was the...
In the middle of the ice. I think it was Lucerain. Is it Lucerain?
Lucerain with
the one-handed. The one-handed redirect.
Yeah. But I will say, and one of the things that's, I think, kind of getting lost in this is tough spot for Wool. Hasn't played in a long time. Goes in cold. Big pressure game. He also wasn't terrible. He made 17 to 20 saves. In the first period, high danger chances were 5-0 for Florida. By the time the game's over, it's 14-12 Florida. He had to make some saves along the way, and I thought he held on to some pucks and got pieces. And
first shot of the game you see is a Reinhardt wrister from the top of the circle, like almost. So
I don't think he was terrible. I think he'll be good.
I think last night on Leafs Talk, I was too critical. I was just upset about Stolarz, upset about the whole situation, a little too hot under the collar. It is a hard situation to come in. I think he made it look hard at times. I thought he looked timid in there. Not like, I guess it just looks so much different than Stolarz. Stolarz feels like he's double the size, feels like he's flying around a lot more. Wool is just a completely different stylistic goalie, so it takes some getting used to your eye. Mm-hmm. I have full faith going into tomorrow night that a prepared, rested, ready-to-go Wall will look good. I'm not worried about it. Didn't love a couple of the goals last night, but ultimately they got the win. That's what matters.
And I do think, let's say Stolarz is ready to go in a few days here. There's a great scenario where Wall plays really well and they go, what are we going to do here? And you have a tough decision to make.
Yeah.
Better, that's a situation a lot of teams would love to have. So I don't think it's necessarily all bad. I don't know they're that much worse off.
I
Short term.
I like Joseph Wall going down to Florida. There are times when you've watched this year that Joseph Wall can go on the road and like steal a win.
Yeah.
Right? He's got that type of game.
Because he's pretty calm, right? Like Stolarz is much, there's much more going on than when Wall plays.
Okay, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on Joseph Wall.
Not an easy spot for Joe to come in. Just a word on his performance in a difficult situation. And how he
Yeah, no, it's a tough situation for sure, and especially in a playoff game, and with this magnitude and everything. So, you know, he handled it well, I thought. And listen, we got the win.
All right, did pretty good.
Exactly how I feel.
Yeah,
I did. It did send a shiver up and down my spine when they flashed to the bench. And it was Dennis Hill to be sitting there. I was like, oh, my God. And then, who was it, 17, Rodriguez? Mm-hmm. Backed right into Wall, like, you know, three or four shifts after he comes into the game. I'm like, they're going to try to take this guy out, too.
Yeah.
They're 100% going to try to do the exact same thing that they did to Stolarz.
I don't think that's the last goalie contact coming this series.
No. They're going to be...
The Leafs do have two goalies that, have had injuries.
This is...
Scouting report.
This is every team's game plan.
Right.
Right, get in traffic, couple bumps here and there. Let's test this guy out. It's coming for Joseph Wall, too.
Yep, it is. So we'll see if he can sort it out next game.
By the way, he's had really good numbers against the Panthers in his career. I guess he's only played three games against them, but .940 save percentage and a .233 goals against. So in three games against them, he's been really good. So not surprised.
Any concerns on... the checking line, particularly in the third period. I don't know what Lawton's ended up -3. Lost a couple of times on a few of those goals. Any concerns there?
You know, I'm not that concerned about that line, Kip. Like, they didn't have a great night.
No.
No doubt about that. But, like, do you think that this is Camp's time? After a win, maybe sub him in?
Too quick.
I thought there would have been probably half a dozen other times when Berube would have gone to David Kampf, and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. I don't see it now.
It's tough because there's just no one to take out. The only name you might consider is Holmberg. So they've been really
Holmberg's
good.
But he's a big, strong guy, and we saw him get to the net. And who ran him over? Kulikov.
Kulikov murdered him so hard.
And that guy
popped right up.
Got up like it was nothing.
Leafs have played 7 games in the playoffs. Do you know how many goals against Holmberg has been on the ice for? A zero.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. I'm not taking that guy out. In fact.
And that's fine. He played 8 minutes last night. Everyone else played 11 plus.
I want him to go to the net as hard as he did before he got hit. But go another foot.
Yeah.
Go one more foot.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And get Kulikov to drive you right into Bobrovsky.
Yeah. It was a great play. So Kampf is a good fit for this series, right? Like, he's a smothering defensive guy. If you want your fourth line to be a little bit more locked down, Yarncroak.
I think he was a bit of a water bug, too, for me last night. I didn't mind him.
Okay. Well, then,
I didn't mind him.
You got the win.
Okay.
Kampf's not coming in.
I think, though, that is a matchup you need to watch, because that Lundell is to Ryan and Marchand line is a nightmare. They're really good.
So after the game, with a few seconds left, I went down to do a hit for Sportsnet Central, so I didn't catch the end of the game with Brad Marchand going after Mitch Marner.
That was Kachuk.
But I did see it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I'd be fuming right now if I was a Leaf. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was incredibly cheap on Matthews.
Here.
Like, if Marner doesn't dodge him, that's knee on knee.
Yeah.
I mean.
And then the cross check, and I get it. You've lost and you want to send a little bit of a message. But that, to me, is a green light to go right at. On the ice. Like, you got to pay attention to that stuff, too.
Also,
I know you're trying to close out a win here, but that's your most important player on the line, on the ice there, where Matthew Kachuk's going after him. No, make it ugly at the end there. He started it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising. It's the ML. Injure.
I do vacillate on the, is it better to, you know, he wants that, right? He wants a big scrum. He wants to look like they,
you know. Yeah, I know, but you could get a couple free shots in there at the end.
Yeah.
What happened? What's the rules of fighting on the at the end?
It's just one punch. I don't want to fight, Sammy. I just want to get one really good lick in.
Yeah.
That's all.
You love that.
You know, while we got a few minutes left in Leafs Hour, power play could have been better.
Where I have a problem with the power play is, like, it looks great when you win a draw and you score it 9 seconds in, but when it gets iced down there and you guys got to come back in and who's carrying the puck and how clean do you get in, that part gets ugly for the Leafs.
Sketchy entries.
You know what I hate? I hate the backhand chip. They love the little chip backhand sauce that a D just goes bank and knocks it out of the air. We know you can backhand chip sauce it. That's great. It's not a serious play. Chip it past his feet and skate onto it. Like, I hate this little chip. Nylander was unbelievable last night. Loves the backhand chip entry. That gets knocked down.
But he's the best.
Matthews too.
He's the best finisher out there last night by a country mile.
He was second in the NHL in goals this year, and he looked like it. He's just had that.
And you just live with the fact that he could do what he did in Game 7 and Game 1, and then there's other times when it's like, what's he doing out there? But that's
look at that play.
That's where you accept him, right?
And Berube, this sauce, this touch.
Berube's done a nice job of really truly knowing what he is and hoping that, like, the good Willie will overcome the bad Willie.
And while we're getting in stuff before the final buzzer here, Morgan Riley was up in the play more in that game than maybe the entire Ottawa series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's encouraging.
For sure. Loved Willie last night. I'd love if the captain could hit the net.
But what is going on?
Am I allowed to say that?
He's got the yips, buddy.
He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
The empty netter was unbelievable. That was like watching me on a 3-foot putt miss it by a foot.
Shoot it in.
I don't know.
What's going on?
I said in my article today, he needs to sacrifice a chicken, switch a stick, switch his tape colors.
Yeah, something needs to happen here.
You know, he had 11 shot attempts last night. He had 5 good shots, real scoring chances, but the one where he misses the net after Nyes bulldozes Jones, it's just like, make the guy make a save.
I mean, I've watched him his entire career. Him, when he's right, what is the, like, percentage of that shot hitting the back of the net in your mind? Like, it's like an 80% shot.
Over.
And it just bangs it off the end glass from the hash marks. He's, what is happening?
He's second in the NHL in missed nets. He's got 16 missed nets in playoffs.
16! Who's leading? You say he's second?
Cale McCarr.
Wow.
And tied with,
the good news is you found a way to win without him shooting it in the net, but at some point, he's going to have to
big time
be the guy.
Barkov for you?
Did he play?
Barkov, Reinhardt, Verhaeghe, quiet.
Not great.
Bobrovsky, 3 goals on 8 shots. Again, another opening series where the Leafs get in a comfortable lead and bring it home. Mm-hmm. So Bobrovsky was really good in the back half or the third period, he actually gave his team a chance to tie the score.
I thought when Domi got stopped in that breakaway, I was like, oh, that's the one that we all
Bob's remember. Bob's going for a poke check there, by the way. Yeah. He still catches it.
All right.
28 minutes for Seth Jones in regulation game.
Yeah, Ekblad back in game 2, so that'll alleviate some of that.
Keep your head up.
They'll take out super sniper Belinsky's.
All right. Just like that. 1 hour done, and we've solved nothing.
That's fun.
We'll get another crack at it this hour when we welcome in one of the most winningest goalies in NHL history, King Henry Lundqvist. NHL on TNT will join us next. We'll talk Stolars with him as well. Don't go away. More Real Kipper and Bourne right after these words.